I'm Tass Mellis of The Starters.
This is Ben Golver with the Open Floor Podcast.
Hi, I'm Kristen Ludlow from NBA Inside Stuff.
I'm OG Anunoby of the Toronto Raptors.
Hey, I'm Elena Donon, and welcome to the Double Clutch.
Double Clutch.
Double Clutch.
Double Clutch.
Double Clutch Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, basketball fans of all ages, welcome to the Double Clutch Podcast with me, Hugh Hopkins, where on this episode, we will be checking in with Britain's sole representative in competition in European basketball this year, the head coach of the BA London Lions, Mr. Vince McCauley. How are you, Vince?
I'm fine. Nice to have this chat.
Yeah, well, no, I appreciate you coming on and making time for me. It's one of your busiest basketball seasons to date, I imagine. So, I appreciate you making the time.
Well, it's quite wild at the moment. Trying to run a basketball club in these conditions is very, very tough right now on and off the floor.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll get into all of it, I imagine. But first up, I wanted to sort of get to the newsy bits. You guys, you're coming off a good win over the weekend in the BBL Cup, and it's a much needed win because I think that qualifies you guys for the next round. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. That takes us into the quarterfinals.
It must have been a bit of a relief then, because you guys, how would you describe your start to the season so far?
Well, it's been a bit of a stop-start period, to be honest with you, because, coming out of lockdown, we had to put the team together and get ready to play a very high-level Champions League game in such a short period of time. So we had to really go from 0 to 100 in an unbelievable short time. And it was very, very difficult. And not only that, and not knowing where we were going to play, because we thought we were going to play home and away against Neptunus, but then he ended up in a bubble in Bulgaria. So very, very challenging. I thought we acquitted ourselves well there, and then nothing again. And then with the delay of the BBL season, then all that hype and everything else just died down, like a damn squib. Then we started to pick it up again. And for us, it's always going to be difficult to, with such a huge machinery in place to get our guys going. It was going to take us a bit of time to get going. For the opposition, no matter who we played, they just took one look at us and they were fired up. So they were already ready to go. So it just took us a game or two to find our feet. We had a few issues in terms of players leaving, players coming in, trying to find the right balance. It was only just going to be a matter of time before we did that, play with the intensity and so on that we wanted to do. And once we did that, I think we showed at the weekend that we can take care of business.
Yeah, I mean, over the Leicester Riders, the Riders have been one of the premier teams for a good number of seasons now in the BBL, of course. So, getting a win over those guys who have got European experience themselves, that must have been a good one to get, I imagine. But going back to slightly earlier, like you said, to attempting your first run ever at a Basketball Champions League qualifier. Well, it didn't go exactly as you'd hoped, obviously, but what did you guys learn from that situation? Especially, what did you learn that you can take into the sort of Euro Cup going into the new year?
I think the most important thing that we learned was that we can compete at that level. That was the first thing, because it wasn't ideal preparation, but we got through it. We coped with all the different situations that we were in. We went and played the game. We were tough. We probably could have won the game. And it's an understanding that, A, we can play at that level. B, we have to understand how much in front we need to be within the European environment to be able to hold on to that lead and be able to be successful. And so we feel positive going into the group stages of the Europe Cup, in that if we can get in there, we feel we can maybe knock a team or two off in that group.
Cool. Well, I think... regardless of what team you generally support in the UK, UK basketball fans, I think they are quite behind the Lions this year because, you do have that extra incentive of Europe. But back on domestic soil, we have more BBL action, coming up this weekend. It's the start of the championship now. And it's going to be on Sky Sports for the first time in a good number of years. I might be wrong in saying this, but I think it's the first time you guys the BBL has been on Sky Sports since you guys have moved to the Copper Box. Is that correct?
That would be tough. I can't remember. I think the main point right now, really, though, is that we're going to be on Sky. We're having a game a week on Sky. We've got some nice production values behind that. I think the entire league is excited about that. I mean, I think it's, you've highlighted the teams that we played this past weekend in the Leicester Riders and the Newcastle Eagles. You know, the coaches for those two teams reached out to us when we went to play in Europe. So they were very supportive of what we were trying to do. And then back on the domestic scene, you know, it's important that, you know, whilst we're trying to do that in Europe or we're trying to raise the level, it's to help the league. It's, you know, the rest of the teams are, you know, if you see the recruitment that has taken place, I think the viewers on Sky are going to be so excited by some of the games because, you know, some of the players on show, you know, at the teams, you know, obviously just he's just talking simply about these two teams. I mean, Crandell, the point guard for Leicester, is an exceptional player, as is William Lee for them. And then you go and look at Maxwell and Justin Gordon for the Newcastle Eagles. These are exciting players, not just for the home fans, but for all basketball fans in the UK.
Yeah, I was going to come on to it a bit later, but we might as well sort of steer into it now. You guys, I guess for your European campaign, you did make a big point of going out and bringing in some additional talent. You know, you've obviously still got your homegrown British talent. I mean, Justin Robinson is still there. And I remember having a conversation with some of the guys on Double Clutch a few years ago that actually I think the BBL does have some players who could play at an NBA level. I remember some of the guys were sort of surprised to hear me say that. But I think, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say that there would be stars straight away or anything. But, you know, I singled out Justin Robinson as one of those guys who I think could be a decent contributor, you know, in a bench role or in a supporting role for a number of NBA teams. But you've not just managed to retain him for a number of years, who would, you know, attract a decent salary in Europe. But you've managed to bring in NBA quality players, previous NBA players, and also some of the top European guys. What's that like now for you going into BBL games? You know, do you feel that there's a greater pressure on the Lions?
That's an interesting one, because a few people have mentioned that, you know, about pressure. But I don't think it's about pressure. I think it's about what we, when I say we, I mean all of us who work within the BBL. So whether that's, you know, Coach McCarthy, Coach Paternostro and the two teams we talked about, or Coach James down in Plymouth, or Coach Byrne in Manchester, I think we all believe the BBL should have shoulder space to become a bigger league than it currently is. I think we all agree that. We all believe that we've got talent in this country, British players, like you just mentioned, a whole heap of them already who are over in France getting ready for the GB games. We believe we have high quality players. We do believe that. I think the biggest thing is maybe what happens elsewhere, whether that be in Europe or in the NBA, in terms of preparation, how hard the guys work, how, you know, physically, all of that kind of stuff, and how we recover. That's the bits that we have to improve on over here in the UK. And I think from the London Lions point of view, you know, we're not concerned about pressure. What we are concerned about is to be one of the better places that, as a destination for you to come and play basketball. I think being able to get some of the ex-NBA stars like a Byron Mullins or a DeAndre Liggins to come and play here and understand that actually, first of all, the league in this country is very good. The league in this country wants to compete in Europe. And that actually, you're probably better coming and playing in London than you are going to play somewhere in the back end of Ukraine. You know, I think the whole lifestyle that we want to create, the way we want to look after our players, it's about raising the level of the British game. And to qualify that even further, we tried to sign two players just recently, one of them just signed with the Denver Nuggets, that's Greg Whittington, and Nathan Knight, who just signed with the Atlanta Hawks. These are guys that we expected to be on our roster going into the FIBA Euro Cup. So that's already the level that we are at. Now you put a Justin Robinson or an Ashley Hamilton or some of these guys, a Connor Washington, next to that level of talent, of course, it's going to raise the whole level of everything that we're trying to do. And that's our stated objective. So the pressure is not the issue, because we're already on a trajectory that's way beyond what anybody thought we would be on, you know, looking back over the last 2, 3, 4 years.
I think long-term, I absolutely agree with you. You know, the way to grow and the way to get the best out of players in this country is to surround them with, you know, even better talent. I think there are some potential obstacles in the short term I mean, you have had a loaded roster the past couple of seasons. You know, last year you had Ovi Soko, who, you know, I assume some of the people who are listening to this, you know, are watching this, have seen the BBC documentary that has recently come out about him trying to also build a sort of celebrity career off the court. So you guys had to, you know, had that in the background. I'm sure he was entirely professional about it. I'm not making any suggestions, but at the same, and then this year you brought in another top European international talent like Matthew Bryan and Manning, but it, you know, those guys are used to being, you know, top players on a top team. But then you also bring in additional talent and perhaps they're not used to being surrounded with, you know, that level of international NBA caliber talent. So is it more difficult in the short term to try and manage the level of talent that you're bringing in? Of course, you know, Piers, I mentioned Matthew Bryan and Manning, of course, he's not playing with the team now, but, you know, I guess that goes to, I guess that's feeding into the question a little bit. Is it more difficult or does it create new challenges when you're bringing in upper level talent to surround already great talent?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important that the talent you bring in at whatever level understands the collective objective of the club. That's number one. The beauty of this, and whether it was Ovi last year or DeAndre Liggins this year or whomever, I'm the one who's selecting them and I'm the one who's bringing them in and I'm the one who's trying to coach. So they understand from myself what the philosophy of the club is and where we're trying to go with the club. Bringing Justin Robinson back from Greece 3 years ago, 4 years ago, it was the same thing. It was about, listen, this is what we want to do. This is where we want to go. We believe you can lead us in this direction. And once the player buys into that situation, there is really no issue because basketball is the same everywhere. The competition on the floor and practice is the same. The competition in the games are the same. You have to go through the same pains, the growing pains, to gel any team. Now, of course, the higher the level, the more guys you have to cater to. Not only that, in our case, obviously, we built quite a large squad because, you know, we were initially anticipating a number of, you know, trips, you know, to Europe and back and blah, 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 and then trying to play BBL games within that, which is one thing. But actually, this is even worse now in a kind of in the COVID environment where actually we'll be playing BBL games. Then we've got to go into a bubble and play 3 games in 4 days and then come back. So there are many challenges. So I think it's about being able to convey to the guys that this is where we're trying to go. This is what we're trying to achieve. Would you like to be part of that collective achievement? And of course, you know, whether it's Justin's view of what that achievement is or whether it's DeAndre's view of that, what that achievement is, it serves the same purpose. You know, for Justin, he's very proud to be British. He wants British guys to do well. He wants more and more British players to come home and play with him. You know, Miles Hessen, Gabe Olaseni, to put them on the same team. So us being successful assists in that happening. Now, if it's DeAndre Liggins, he's thinking, well, I want to go into the Champions League and I want to go into EuroLeague. Well, okay, as long as he understands that, that's where we want to go to, and he can actually be the guy who opens the door for us in that, it serves his purpose. And all of that collectively serves the Lions' purpose and the BBL purpose. Because, of course, now, having entered that stage of the Champions League like we did, you know, now we've got the attention of a whole bunch of people over in Europe, whether they be clubs, players, agents, whatever, understanding that actually we want to be at that level. And actually, I'd rather put my player in London than I put him somewhere else. So that's a real advantage for us, which we want to take care of. And I say London in this case because that's where we're at. But excuse that for Glasgow, you know, for Manchester, any other big city you want to in the UK.
I think the early returns, I don't know if you feel the same, but the early returns appear to, like, it appears positive in the sense that, you know, I've never seen, and I think a few other people have said it as well on social media, that there's never been so much activity surrounding the BBL, or certainly there's never been that much activity on social media. Because, you know, going back to the 90s, of course, there was a lot of activity surrounding the British Basketball League back then. But it seems as if perhaps it's a situation that, obviously, due to COVID, we can't go to games at the moment, so there's no central meeting spot. But do you feel as if there's something bubbling up online? There's a desire and a need for British basketball you know, from fans at the moment?
Definitely. I mean, you've hit the nail on the head in that we're not able to gather at games. So the only way we can get our basketball fix is via social media, you know, via games on YouTube, which fortunately the league have been able to do for this period of time. I don't know how long that will continue, but that in this period, it has really helped. But not only that, I think, you know, the slight tweak to the rules where you can now have, you know, four Americans as opposed to three has raised the level. Now I mentioned actually Hamilton. That's another player that's come back home. You talk about Matthew Bryan. You talk about some of the guys that you know that didn't have the opportunity to come home and actually play their basketball at home. So that's actually, you know, tweaking the interest of a lot of our British players, our British people who want to see the guys play. I mean, you know, I think we've seen Gabe Olaseni play once in the UK when he came over with Iowa to play the London Lions. You know, other than that, we haven't seen him. And he's played at such a high level at Turkey. It would be great to be able to see him here in the UK. So all of those things are coming along. Now, obviously, you know, being able to sign a Kevin Ware, a DeAndre Liggins, a Byron Mullins, whoever, has raised that interest and said it actually makes a statement in its own right that says this is where we're going and this is the level we want to be at. And everybody wants to be part of that. And like I said, you referred earlier to the support of for the Lions playing in Europe. I mean, I got messages from all over the place from people wanting to see us be successful in Europe because it's good for all of us.
Yeah, definitely. And I think part of it feeding into the whole social media thing and the vibe online for fans is that because you've also brought over the likes of Kevin Weir. I mean, Kevin's been fantastic on social media, and actually, I think it's been a bit of a breath of fresh air because perhaps it's naivety, perhaps it's because I haven't followed British players enough on social media. Maybe that's my failing, but it seems as if the Americans that come over, especially someone like Kevin Weir, who was a top recruit at one point, he was one of the best players in the country before he had some injury issues. You know, he has this swagger and this confidence. And on social media, you see him sort of starting up rivalries out of nothing, you know? And I think that's good for the game as well. And I don't think we've seen enough of that in the past.
That's exactly the point. And that's why we need characters in the game. Mm-hmm. You know, we need characters in the game to talk the talk and be prepared to walk the walk. It doesn't matter. I mean, I think, and it's not so much about now. I mean, some of us are old enough to remember Coach Rob Paternostra when he was a player. My goodness, he was a pain in the neck. He was always yabbering on. And Kevin Weir is simply the social media equivalent of him, you know. And God help you, if you ever played a game against Nigel Lloyd, he'd talk you to death. So social media allows that to come out there. And that's what we should do. We shouldn't be afraid to say that. We should talk. I mean, you know, I'm always standing on the sideline trying to bait one of the guys into a conversation and get into his head. But I think, you know, yes, Kevin has come in here. He doesn't care. He wants to be successful wherever he is. You know, and he likes the idea of being here. So he's going to talk about it. I mean, you look at DeAndre Liggins. He's, you know, anything to do with it, he's retweeting it and reposting it. And that's what we should be doing. You could argue sometimes maybe some of the British guys should do more of that. Because, we have, Kofi Joseph, my guy, Joey Kimwin, a few of the other guys. I see a couple of the younger guys in the NBL want to do the same thing. All of us should be doing that. All the players should be out there talking because they were great guys. You know, we had a great crack with Darius Dufour on Friday up in Newcastle. Great talk, great chat, great everything, you know. And there are players up and down, you know, in every club that have that kind of situation. We should be able to talk about it more.
Yeah, definitely. I'm enjoying it. And yeah, I think I agree with the general consensus is that social media has been more abuzz than ever. I mean, speaking to yourself, who is a well-known character in the game, then give us some predictions on what you think the Lions are going to do this year, especially going into the championship this weekend. You've warmed up now, you've played your BCL games, you've played a couple of BBL Cup games, and actually, I think everybody's looking at the Lions and going, oh, actually, they might be trouble this year. You know, now they've started to build some chemistry and, you know, figure out who's taking shots where, and you've got your, you know, everyone on the team playing knowing the system, playing to the right system now. What hopes do you have for the championship this year?
Yeah, I mean, I prefer what you said there in terms of hopes as opposed to predictions. You know, you can never predict because we don't know. I mean, as we stand now, we don't have Byron Mullins. You know, he's got some family issues to deal with in the States, so we don't have him here. And that's a huge hole, you know, a huge character to deal with when he comes in and a huge hole when he pulls out. So, you know, we have that kind of a situation going on. So predictions are always tough. But in terms of hopes, you know, like all the coaches, we want to win every game that we're playing. So in terms of the Euro Cup stuff, we're going out there to try and win those games. We open up our BBL campaign on the 3rd of December live on Sky up in Newcastle. Well, that's a team that we just beat at the weekend. So, you know, they're going to be getting ready for us. They're going to be fired up. You know, that's going to be a big game. You know, everyone's excited about opening on the channel. So that's going to be a tough encounter. But what we knew that none of that was news to us. You know, when our guys come in, we explain to them what the situation is. Newcastle's a top team. Leicester's a top team. Sheffield are trying to muscle in. Plymouth are trying to muscle in. Guys are trying to improve. And the league, I believe, is going to be tougher than last year. You know, I believe that, you know, with the extra players that the guys have got, you know, as long as coaches can get the right blend and stuff like that, I think there's some really good quality players out there. In fact, just the other day, I was talking to Coach Garbellotto, you know, who's over here in England at the moment. And we were talking about certain positions on the floor. And you look at, say, for instance, the forward position, which is Byron's position. It's like, you look around and there's some sensational four men in the league right now. So that's a position that has really improved. You know, before, you know, people went and got a point guard and blah, blah, blah. But now the four-man position has become a really crucial position on every team. So I think I'm expecting some really, really exciting games. You know, we want to go out there and win. We want to win the championship. We want to make sure we win the league so that we can automatically go back into the Champions League next year. So for us, you know, we've certainly set our stall out.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it's good to hear, you know, especially when, you know, when the Lions were making all those signings throughout the summer, you know, we saw former NBA player, former NBA player, former European champion, you know, all these different fantastic names were coming along. And honestly, it was difficult to believe. And then, you know, we were hearing talks that you were trying to get, you know, more Americans on the team and having chats with the BBL to see if that was possible. And it's incredible to see, and it's so heartwarming to see, I think. So if that's the case, then if the game in Britain is, you know, it is improving because you're getting more of these international players, it's raising the game of the homegrown players, and you know, it's creating a better product and an opportunity for British basketball. What's next then? Because the Lions, they've managed to secure some great, you know, investment in the next few years, or in recent years, sorry. But what does that mean going forward? Because I'm sure a lot of the other teams would love to get their hands on some good investment, but absolutely, you know, it doesn't always, you know, come just like that, does it? You probably worked incredibly hard to secure that investment. But those investors, they're probably going to want to see some returns in the not too distant future as well. So, and it's not an easy thing to take over a sporting landscape, especially with the game of basketball. What's the future then?
Well, I mean, in our case, you know, at the Lions, I mean, I guess where the overnight success that took 30 years to build, you know, that's the kind of thing, you know, everybody knows that I bang the drum a lot and I go out there and try and beat the bushes and see what we can get. We've been fortunate enough to get the investment that we're looking for. It's an investment from people who basically understand that, you know, turning yourself into a European powerhouse is not an overnight thing. It's going to take some time. It's going to take, you know, a number of years to become a regular, habitual Champions League Final Four team. You know, how do we become that? But when we say about investment, it's also about taking fans and British fans on the journey. You know, if we want to be a situation where, you know that you can see that situation now. It's the London Lions against Real Madrid in the final of whatever it is, and the flares are going up, and people are looking around saying, is this really British basketball? How do we get to that position? How do we make that happen? And how do we enjoy that? Obviously, as players, as coaches, yes, we understand. But as fans, we have to take the painful journey that we've all taken as football fans, because that's our natural bent. Yeah. You know, I'm a Liverpool fan, and some of our Lions fans, I know Southampton fans, West Ham fans, all sorts. You know, so there's all these kind of guys, and we go on the up and down. Well, we need to make that journey in basketball, you know. And so I think over these next 2-3 years, we want to become a household Champions League team. That's for sure. In terms of the rest of the league and where the rest of the league is going, I believe there's some really positive things happening with the league. You know, we've talked about the Sky sponsorship coverage. I know there are super sponsorships coming through in the pipeline right now. I know there's some changes taking place in the office at the league. But also, by the same token, you look at the guys down at Plymouth. You know, you've got owners down there who own, you know, a Champions League team in Turkey. So they're not trying to sit down and just chill. They want to do the same thing. You know, they're looking around in Plymouth thinking, well, hang on a minute, can we build an arena here? What's happening here at Plymouth Council? Can we do something? And you've got a fantastic venue up in Glasgow. Should be happening. You know, what Jamie Edwards and his crew have done in Manchester, and finally moving into the performance center. I mean, can you imagine? We know how successful Manchester was previously in terms of the arenas and so on. So, and irrespective of investment or no investment, the sport business of basketball itself in England has to grow. You know, we have to have strong commercial arms within the clubs. Those strong commercial arms have to deliver for sponsors. If they start to do that, the investment in British basketball starts to lift. You know, if we then don't lose all our British players to obscure leagues in Europe and keep them here, now we have a whole bunch of talent that's currently playing in the States, young players, etc., who want to come back. They want to come back to a great situation at home, so they don't have to go out to those obscure landscapes. So I think, yes, we're the catalyst and we're going to, you know, make it happen, but I don't think too many people are that far behind in terms of following that same track.
I think... I agree. I think especially, I mean, God, the Plymouth Raiders, I think they're so underrated this year. I think they're going to be a real beast this year, actually.
Well, they're not underrated, they really look tough.
perhaps for opposition. I just don't think they're being talked about enough, is, I guess, what I'm saying. And I'm incredibly pleased to see that because... not to give away my fan allegiance too much, but I went to Marjon University, which is one of the sponsors. So, not that I'm not pleased to see you here, Vince. I'm very glad you've come on the show.
I'll let you off. My son's down the river, so I'll let you off.
Ah, good, good. Well, I think I'm going to sort of tie it up there a little bit because, I mean, I don't want to keep you too long. I've already kept you for 25 minutes or so. We've seen before... when there has been a lot of money pumped into basketball, okay, in this country. And in the 1990s, it was quite a successful league. It was very young back then, and there was this sort of quick rise, but it felt as if there was this sort of... it felt as if it was more of a facade, because, you know, you hear stories these days of... you know, teams bussing in people on free tickets and that sort of thing. How do we avoid that going forward, especially coming out of the back of this pandemic? There's going to be a lot of questions around, can this league survive? And there were concerns about it before a government bailed us out in the past few weeks. So how are we going to avoid that going forward then, that we don't pump too much in and bring in too much talent and then spend too much too quickly to the point where we haven't built up or brought along this solid fan base underneath? What needs to happen to avoid that happening again?
I think, firstly, I would agree with you that, you know, back in the so-called, you know, great days, that was a bit of a false situation. Mm-hmm. I know people still talk about it now, and wasn't it great to have this guy, that guy, and the other guy, but it was all built in sand. I think we all know that, you know. I think the differences are numerous. So firstly, I think the big difference between now and then is two things in particular. One is social media. So that means that we can get access to our fans, we can communicate to our fans, we can do whatever we want to do in terms of drumming up support. There wasn't social media back in those days. And then the second aspect is around the development pathways and the community activity that clubs now do, which they had to be dragged, kicking and screaming to do previously. So now every BBL club understands that it's critical for its development to grow its fan base, is to have a pathway that works in terms of elite production, has a pathway that works in terms of engaging youngsters at a very low level, whether that be primary schools, secondary schools, outdoor clubs, etc. So clubs already know that. So clubs are working in that area. A number of clubs are growing their audiences in different ways. And then you have clubs like Newcastle, like Leicester, like Worcester, who are building their own facilities. Now, that brings a whole new dimension to what your BBL club means in its community. You take a look at the Newcastle Eagles model out there, and you've got council, the six councils there all being engaged within what's happening, all pointing directly to the Eagles Community Arena. So that's a fantastic project. So in terms of how much money or which money or what money, it really, to the base extent, doesn't matter, because these are businesses that are going to operate right now. And even if you're a club that doesn't have your own facility, we don't currently have our own facility. Plymouth doesn't have its own facility, etc. Bristol has one in the pipeline. So you're still building all of these, you know, what I would call, you know, pillars of what you need to be a successful BBL club. So when investment comes, before you worry about it, will it disappear? The first thing is, how does that investment enhance what you are currently doing to keep that sustainable in the future, no matter how that business fluctuates? I mean, everybody's business fluctuates. So in our case, our partners have a very long-term plan. You know, this is a 10 to 20-year plan about turning London into the number one European capital of basketball. So other investors, I mean, the guys at Plymouth, they already know. You know, they've already done it in Turkey. They know the situation. So their plans are also about making that a powerhouse in Plymouth. And that's, you know, as long as the sustainability is there through these pillars of what it takes to be a good club, I'm not really fearful of all of that other stuff. Especially, you know, with the multiple-year deal now with Sky, with the sponsorships that are lining up to come on as a result of that, it can only grow through safe management, which the league has shown, you know, in times of difficulty, that it's been able to, you know, sail its way through and manage to keep its head above water. Much more so than a lot of other sports in this country who get a lot more money than we do as a sport. You know, we talked about the bailout where we're going to get £3 million or thereabouts for the sport, and you've got other sports here getting 50 million, you know, and individual clubs in rugby getting 5 million each. I mean, that's a whole other world. You know, what kind of business were they running where they got to this point where they can survive? So you got to ask yourself that question.
So I guess what you're saying is that, you know, it needs to be, you not every team has it as well as some others, but you need to have this sort of club feeder system. You need to be building up the community. Well, if you don't mind me asking, what about the women's basketball side of things, the WBBL, yes. You know, because I think there was a lot of, there was a few people sort of upset, and quite rightly so, that when, you know, the announcement was made that there was backing coming from the government, it said BBL, and then it said in brackets, also the WBBL. And, you know, I think that was a little bit insulting to those, to the women who are, you know, putting in a lot of work, quite frankly, to raise their own, to raise the game and their own, the quality of their own league.
I think that, and they were justified in being upset. Obviously, we have our own women's team as well that we want to look after and we want to grow and develop. So we're very much part of that. I think somebody made a mistake somewhere, and hopefully it was no more than that. Mm-hmm. But from our perspective, you know, we want our women's team to be very much part of what we're doing. We want our women's pathway to be very much part of what we're doing. I mean, one of the most successful female basketball coaches in the country is Caroline Charles, who runs our new Youngbloods Lions program. So, you know, those are the kind of people that we want involved to help us develop our women's side of things. Coach Andrea Boland, who's the only female coach in the BBL, does the same thing at Hackney and works with us very closely. So from our perspective, you know, we believe that the WBBL is an area where the growth can actually be even more spectacular because, we've got Chantel Charles now playing with us, who was playing in Italy last year. We've got other girls up and down the country who were playing in Europe last year. So about learning that and seeing, you know, we have a long way to go from the WBBL aspect to get there. And don't forget, the WBBL is not necessarily as independent as a group as maybe, say, the BBL. The BBL is an independent group. So WBBL is slightly different within that. Yeah. So, you know, so we have to put those kind of things into consideration. But I look at what's happening with the Leicester Riders women. I look at what's happening with the Newcastle Eagles, the, you know, streaming game. You know, everybody's taking that very, very seriously. I think that's an area of growth that we, you know, we need to really look after.
Yeah, good. I agree. I'm glad you're on that wavelength. Well, Vince, I don't want to keep you anymore. I'm very grateful for your time. It's been fascinating getting some sort of insights, not just about the nitty gritty of the British Basketball League, which of course we're big fans of, but also the potential and the future of the league and of the sport in Britain. And best of luck going into this weekend as the championship kicks off.
Well, thank you very much, and we're excited to kick it off, and we'll do the best we can.
Good stuff. All right, speak to you soon.
Thank you.